Penguin Random House Audio presents MBS, The Rise to Power of Mohammed bin Salman, by Ben Hubbard, read for you by Robert Petkoff. And let it be noted that there is no more delicate matter to take in hand, nor more dangerous to conduct, nor more doubtful in its success, than to set up as a leader in the introduction of changes. Niccolo Machiavelli, The Prince. Ask the young. They know everything. Joseph Joubert. Author's note. This work is based on hundreds of interviews in a half dozen countries over 6 years, a range of English, Arabic, French, and Turkish publications, news accounts, and social media posts, and my experiences during multiple trips to Saudi Arabia between 2013 and 2018. It is a work of nonfiction, and in no place have I altered names, details, or facts to hide the identities of sources or enhance the narrative. The realities of working as a foreign journalist in Saudi Arabia changed substantially over the course of the events depicted in this book, first for the better, then for the worse. In addition to Saudi Arabia's treatment of Jamal Khashoggi, the kingdom has imposed travel bans on thousands of Saudis and jailed and prosecuted citizens for expressing themselves online or communicating with foreign journalists. This has led me to err on the side of caution with the identification of Saudi sources, granting many anonymity. I am aware that this affects the transparency of the work, but I prefer that over endangering those who chose to share their stories, thoughts, and information with me. For the rendering of Arabic names and phrases in English, I have followed no standard rules but tried to ensure clarity for the non-specialist listener. Mohammed bin Salman declined to be interviewed for this book. Introduction. By the time the young prince who was running the Arab world's richest country was due to speak, a standing-room-only crowd of international investors, businessmen, millionaires and billionaires had packed a luxurious hall under massive crystal chandeliers to await his appearance. It was fall 2017, and all had come to Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, for a lavish investment conference that had unofficially been dubbed Davos in the Desert, to give it the same ring of exclusivity and consequence as the annual meetup of global power brokers in the Swiss Alps. This conference, however, had a different goal, to convince the assembled money men that the time was now to bet big on Saudi Arabia. Over the previous days, the kingdom had worked hard to convince its thousands of guests that any preconceptions they had about Saudi Arabia were not true, or were at least on their way to not being true. The country was changing, they were told, opening up and shedding its past as a hyper-conservative, insular Islamic kingdom. Saudi Arabia had long been known for two things: oil and Islam. The first was pooled in such great quantities under the kingdom's sands that it had turned its royal family, the Al Saud, into one of the world's richest dynasties, giving the country that bore their name a geostrategic importance it otherwise would have lacked. The massive oil wealth had shaped the Saudi economy, giving an elite class of princes and businessmen tremendous wealth, while most citizens either stayed home or earned salaries from government jobs that paid well and often required little work. The official Islam of the kingdom was not any Islam, but Wahhabism, the ultra-conservative and intolerant interpretation that was woven into the kingdom's history. It taught the faithful to be wary of non-Muslim infidels, saw murderers and drug dealers beheaded in public squares, and deprived women of basic rights. The kingdom was far stricter than most other Islamic societies, but its status as the guardian of Islam's holiest sites, in Mecca and Medina, gave it unique clout among the world's 1.8 billion Muslims. Saudi leaders knew their kingdom's troubled reputation, so the conference had been carefully planned to challenge how attendees saw the country. Guests had dined on grilled lamb and chocolate truffles at private dinners hosted by princes and officials in opulent homes with swimming pools, art galleries, and hidden liquor cabinets. Women featured prominently in the program and mingled freely with men in the coffee shop of the Ritz-Carlton, with no obligation to cover their hair as they had to elsewhere. Slick presentations courted investors for grand initiatives. Saudi Arabia would become a global shipping and transport hub. Entertainment options for its 22 million citizens would proliferate with amusement parks, cinemas, and concert venues, all of which had long been forbidden for religious reasons. Tourism would boom, with the development of long-neglected historic sites and the creation of a world-class eco-resort in the Red Sea. And in case anyone doubted that the changes were real, the kingdom was finally going to reverse the regulation that had long stood as the primary example of its oppression of women. In June 2018, it would let them drive. The message was clear. Titanic changes were afoot in Saudi Arabia, and the man driving them was a mysterious workaholic son of the king, named Mohammed bin Salman. He was 32 years old and out to remake the kingdom, and the wider Middle East, as fast as he could. Seated in plush chairs or on the tan carpet, the conference attendees had come to take the measure of the young prince. Was he for real? Was he a visionary leader who would drag Saudi Arabia from its conservative past, or a rash upstart who would drive it into the ground? Murmurs raced through the hall as a side door opened and the prince appeared. He wore the standard outfit for Saudi men, a long white gown with snaps down the front known as a thobe, a red and white checkered headdress held in place with a black cord, and black sandals. He was chubby, due to his fondness for fast food, and he wore a scruffy beard that climbed high up his cheeks, telegraphing that he was too busy working to waste time on superfluous grooming. Flanked by aides and trailed by photographers and television cameras, he ascended the stage and sank into a white armchair. He had emerged from obscurity less than 3 years before, a prince among thousands of princes, who had charmed and plotted his way to the top of the kingdom's power structure. When his elderly father, King Salman, ascended to the throne in 2015, he gave his son oversight of the kingdom's most important portfolios: defense, economy, religion, and oil. Then, shoving aside older relatives, he became the crown prince, putting him next in line to the throne. His father remained the head of state, but it was clear that Prince Mohammed was the hands-on ruler, the kingdom's overseer and CEO. To distinguish him from the mass of his royal relatives, Saudis and Saudi watchers referred to him by his initials, MBS. He was a large man with a presence that filled up rooms. In public and private, he dispensed with the formal Arabic customary among Arab leaders and spoke rapidly in dialect, gesticulating with his large hands, his voice deep like a growl. He often overflowed with energy, his thoughts coming so fast he interrupted himself mid-sentence. During audiences with foreign officials, he would sometimes hold forth on his vision for the future for an hour or more without pausing for questions. One foreign official recalled that the prince's leg never stopped bouncing during their meeting, making him wonder if the prince was nervous or on some kind of stimulant. On stage that day, MBS addressed the moderator in English to show his foreign guests that he could, then switched to Arabic to unveil yet another hyper-ambitious project, Neom, a city that would rise from an isolated plot of desert near the Red Sea, where businessmen would write the laws and entice the world's top minds to innovate on Saudi soil. Planning for a post-carbon future and taking advantage of the Saudi sun, the city would be powered by solar energy and staffed by so many robots that they might outnumber the human inhabitants. Neom, MBS said, would
Sample complete. Ready to continue?